Good morning. It's good to see everyone as we gather to worship. Let's stand together and sing our gathering hymn, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. You may be seated. And the Lord be with you. Welcome as we gather to worship God this morning here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here and glad to have any guests that we have in our service today. And we also welcome those joining us by radio or by the internet. We're glad that you're worshiping with us and pray it'll be a blessing to you as you worship God with us. And we invite you to come and join us in person anytime. We'd be glad to have you here at Murfreesboro as we worship God together at 11 on Sunday mornings. Several things that I'd like to mention briefly. First of all, to all the fathers, happy Father's Day. We appreciate you and thank God for you and pray His blessings on you today. And then we will not have youth group meeting this evening. The food bank of the Albemarle will be here on Tuesday, and volunteers are needed. And please be here by 1:30 to help get everything ready. Now, on Wednesday evenings, still having choir practice at 6 o'clock right now, but our Bible study, we wrapped up our study of Micah last Wednesday, and we're taking a break until the first Wednesday night in August, August 7th, and we'll resume then. Now, other things that are in your bulletin, applications are being accepted for our two scholarships. You can see the information there. Also, information about our Vacation Bible School. And also, available dates for Sanctuary Flowers are listed in the bulletin. And then there is another announcement about a free concert at Lasker that Paula Presnell will be participating in. And other events that are going on with their summer music festival as well. So please take note of those also. As we worship God together this morning, I invite you to join me in our call to worship that comes from Lamentations chapter 3. And it does continue over onto the next page. If you'll join in on the bold print as we read. Remember my affliction and my bitterness, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. And let's pray together. Merciful and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, as we gather in Your presence to worship You this morning, we pray that You would remind us of Your incredible, steadfast love that You've demonstrated toward us, and that while we were still sinners, You sent Your own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. Remind us, Lord, that in Your great love, You work in our lives through weal and woe, prosperity and adversity, triumphs and trials, to fashion us more and more into the image of Christ, transforming us day by day into His likeness, giving deep meaning to both our blessings and our sufferings. Help us to worship You now in gratitude and love as you strengthen us as disciples of Jesus, and as you build up your church, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn this morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 48, and you will see that it is based on the passage that we just read together. Hymn number 48, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You may be seated. Now let's have the children come for the children's sermon. Y'all come right ahead. Anybody else want to come? We got Jack coming. All right. Good morning. How y'all doing? Are you enjoying summer?
Yes.
Are you staying busy?
No.
No? Okay. Well, some do, some don't, right? Okay. All right. Have either of you ever played on a sports team of any kind, organized sports team? Yeah. What are some of the things you have to do to get ready for a season or to get ready for a game? Practice. Yeah. And what are some of the things you do in practice? Drills. Yeah. Do you run? Why do you run? To get loose? Okay. Do you run after you practice? No? Okay. Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. I know lots of times when you're getting ready for the season or practicing in between games, your coach will have you to run and then run and then run. Why do you think? Too much talking. Well, I've seen that happen. But lots of times their purpose in that is to help build endurance and stamina so that you don't get so tired during the game. Have you ever seen some teams, maybe watching college or pro basketball, and you just see that, you know, in the second half or in the late innings or whatever, they look tired. And they're having trouble doing what they need to do and that kind of thing. But somebody that's been conditioned well and has built up endurance, they can keep going throughout the entire game. Well, you know, endurance is important. And it's important in following Jesus too. Because when we follow Jesus, things don't always go the way that we'd like for them to go. And things happen in our lives that sometimes are bad and are hard to deal with. But when we're following Jesus and He's working and we know that He's working in our lives, that helps us to build endurance. And I'm going to talk about that in the sermon this morning, because the Apostle Paul said that that endurance then produces character. And that character then produces hope. And so we're hoping in the Lord and trusting that He's going to help us through whatever we're facing. So I hope you'll listen carefully this morning, and I hope that you'll remember that enduring hard times helps us to grow as we follow Jesus. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for these children. We pray Your blessings on them and all those who are here today, and ask that You would work in their lives in a very special way. Lord, that as they follow You, You'll help them to grow to become strong disciples, that You will develop endurance in them so that they may follow You all the days of their lives and into glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Today's Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 8 through 10, and then chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And then chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson is from the book of John, chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying to us, a little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. They said, what does he mean by this, a little while? Would you not know what he is talking about? Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
As we join together now in our prayer time, I invite you to listen to these words from Psalm 20. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. As we pray this morning, we've been asked to remember Sherry Cook and Joan Grizzard and Gary Brett. And I know that there are others that are on our hearts and minds as well, so let's remember them as we pray. So we'll join together in prayer now, first in a moment of silence, and I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Praise be to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may comfort any who are in affliction with the comfort with which you have comforted us. Lord, you've blessed us beyond measure and in so many ways. Above all else, when we went astray and rebelled against you, even though you'd created us humans in your own image, you sent your Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, proving your amazing love for us. We thank you for redeeming us in Him. We thank you for the confidence and hope you give us in Him, that despite our present trials and tribulations in this world, He will return to raise us to share in His glory as He sets all things right in the new creation. We thank you as well, Father, for all your blessings. And on this day set aside to honor fathers, we thank you for them and for the good gift of family. We pray your blessings on fathers and on their families. We pray your strength and your guidance for fathers as they care for their families and lead them. We realize, Lord, that for many, like Mother's Day, Father's Day can be a painful time. Some because their fathers are no longer with them. Some because their children are no longer living. Some, Lord, because the children they've longed for never came to be. And some because of strained relationships between parents and children, or because of wayward children or wayward parents. And for those who are hurting today, Lord, we ask your comfort and your blessing and your peace. And we also pray today for those who suffer in our world, Lord. Those who are suffering from oppression and injustice. Those, Father, who suffer because of war. Lord, those who are suffering because of persecution for their faith, we pray for all these and lift them to you. We pray, Father, for your church throughout the world, for our missionaries, wherever they are serving. We pray for your church here in Murfreesboro and ask that you would help us to be strong in you and to be a bright and shining and winsome witness to the community around us as we seek to reach out with deeds of love and words of witness. And Father, we pray for our country and our state and our city, for our civil leaders. We pray, Lord, for those who are traveling during this vacation season. We pray, Lord, for those suffering because of natural or human-caused disasters, for those who are in physical need or spiritual need or emotional or mental need, for those who are mourning or grieving the death of a loved one, and for those who don't know you. Lord, we lift all these to you. praying that you would work according to your will in each situation, that you would bring grace and peace and comfort and strength, that where it could be your will, Lord, you would bring healing and deliverance. Watch over them and keep them. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship you now, our hearts and our minds would be focused completely upon you and upon our Lord Jesus Christ, and that your Spirit would move among us to work in our hearts to have your will and your way. And so, Lord, we offer these prayers in hope and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. So hear us now as we gather and lift our praises and petitions to you in the words of that prayer that he taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn is number 425, How Firm a Foundation. 425.
Let's pray.
Remind us, Father, of all that you've done for us in Jesus Christ, your Son, and that because he is Lord, all we are and all we have belongs to him, and we owe to him our absolute loyalty and obedience. Help us to give gratefully and generously as good stewards of all you entrust to us. Through Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom
with y'all. Our text this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, as we continue in our series about suffering in the saints. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we've been justified by His blood, we will be saved through Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." May God bless the reading and hearing of His holy word. Let's pray together. Father, as we wade into these deep waters, we pray for Your guidance, for Your wisdom, and that You will speak to us through Your word. Help us now. And Lord, help us to hear, each one of us, what we need to hear from You today. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. It was one of those statements that grabs your attention and then burns itself deeply into your heart. It was in a theology class one day when I was in seminary. Dr. John Eddins, my seminary theology professor, he was talking about miracles that day, and it had only been about a year since his beloved wife had died after a long and courageous battle with cancer. And as he talked about miracles, he said something like this: "You know, we hear so much today about miracles of healing, and when somebody recovers from a serious illness, we rightly say that it was a miracle. But what about those who don't recover? What about the miracle of endurance? The miracle of endurance. I'd never thought about it like that. Usually when we think of miracles, we think about healings, mighty works, signs and wonders. We think about God intervening in difficult, even impossible circumstances to deliver us from our hardships and suffering. But could it be that the strength to endure when God does not choose to relieve our hard circumstances is also a miracle? Now, no one is immune from trials and hard times. They come in many different forms. Tragedy, family problems, spiritual or emotional or mental health struggles, financial strain, or a host of other difficulties and distresses. For believers in many parts of our world today, trials come in the form of persecution or maybe even martyrdom, much like it did for many ancient Christians. Sometimes it seems like we face one hardship after another, a crisis at every turn. A lady in one of our previous churches who had gone through a great deal of suffering, she said, "You know, people say that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, I ought to be able to bench press a Buick." Seems like sometimes it just never lets up. And I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life when I could really identify with the psalmists who wrote those psalms of lament. You know, those psalms that are prayer songs written to help the people of God pour out their complaints and their longings before God for themselves and for the community and their longings for deliverance. You know, they really are sort of an ancient form of the blues. And maybe you remember the one we looked at in the first sermon on this series, Psalm 13. I'll read it again. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I'm shaken. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. How long, O Lord? How much? When will you deliver? Have you ever felt this way? Well, as I've told you before, earlier in this series, for many years I was hesitant to express those kinds of feelings and thoughts, but through psalms like this, God graciously taught me that it's okay. He already knows what we're feeling, and we need to express those questions and those complaints to Him, and He lovingly hears our cries. But as I've also said earlier in this series, sooner or later, we have to get beyond the questions and the complaints. Because if we wallow in them, it will only make us sink deeper into the mire of our suffering and our frustration and our depression. And so, here, we have to move beyond our consternation and find strength and hope from God if we're to endure our trials and tribulations successfully. But how can we do that? How do we do that? Maybe the Apostle Paul can offer us some help here in this passage and others as well, but particularly in this passage. As Paul has been laying out his understanding of the human condition and what God has done about it, in these first four chapters of Romans, he stressed two things. First, all people, both Jews and Gentiles, are sinners who are in need of salvation. And then second, what God has done for us is what we couldn't do for ourselves. In Jesus Christ, He has provided a way of redemption for us, because nobody can be saved by the works of the law. Well, now when he gets to our text here in chapter 5, he summarizes his argument to this point, and he says that because of God's saving activity in His Son, Jesus Christ, we who have placed our faith in Jesus now have peace with God through Him. And through Christ, we have been justified. We have been set right with God, delivered from our sin, freed from our guilt. And so we have access to God's grace, and we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. All right, so far, so good. Being set right with God, that's something to boast about. We're not boasting about something we've done. We're boasting about something God has done for us. All that makes sense, right? But then Paul takes what seems like a strange turn to us when he goes on to say, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. All right, wait a minute now, Paul. Wait just a minute. What do you mean we boast in our sufferings? And some of the older translations put that, we glory in our tribulations. I mean, personally, I have no pleasure in pain. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. I don't like to suffer. So how can suffering be something that we boast in or glory in or rejoice over? Well, he doesn't leave us hanging, because look at what he goes on to say. We boast in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces endurance, And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, this hope is not only assured by our experience of God's love poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, God demonstrated it beyond question when He sent His only Son to die on the cross and to rise from the dead for us. And if He died for us while we were His enemies, now that He has reconciled us to God, He'll certainly save us and bring us to final glory. And so on top of all this, we not only boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God and in our sufferings, more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. So we boast in what God has done for us, we boast in our sufferings, and we boast again in the reconciliation that God has given us in Christ. So could it be that Paul is saying to us here that enduring suffering is actually a key component of the Christian life? I mean, to hear some preachers talk, once we trust Christ, everything's supposed to go smoothly. Everything's supposed to go our way. We have plenty of everything we need. We don't face suffering. And if we do, well, maybe we don't really have faith in God. Because if we really have faith in God, they say, we'll always prosper and we'll always be healthy and we'll always be blessed. But that didn't seem to be Paul's experience. And you know, I'd put him up there close to the top about having faith. It didn't seem to be the experience of those who've given their lives as martyrs, both in ancient and modern times. I mean, having your life taken from you. It certainly didn't seem to be Jesus' experience. He always did the Father's will. And look what happened to Him. And it probably hasn't been the experience of most of us here today. Charles Talbert once pointed out that in the ancient Mediterranean world among Jews, Christians, and even pagans, suffering was often seen as a means of divine training. Divine training. In some cases, it was viewed as God's way of disciplining His children to turn them back to His ways if they've gone astray, as a parent disciplines his or her child. Sometimes, it was seen as being like athletic training, as an opportunity for developing skill and endurance. Gary has been a good friend since our days together in seminary, and he used to coach high school basketball before he went into ministry. So when Joanne coached middle school basketball at her first teaching assignment, Gary would sometimes come and help in practice. Well, one of the key tenets of Gary's coaching philosophy was to make the players run. And then run some more. And then run some more until they felt like they were going to drop. Until they felt like it was going to kill them. But you know what happened? It built stamina and endurance. And Gary said that there were some games that they won against teams that were much more talented and much better. If they could get it close at the end, and especially if they could push it into overtime, his guys were good to go. And they would just simply outlast the other team. Endurance. Endurance. That suffering that they experienced with all that running produced endurance. And that's what Paul seems to be talking about here. We boast in our suffering because it produces endurance, and that endurance in turn produces character. And the character that he's talking about is a character that has been proven, like metal that has been tempered. Or like gold or silver that's been refined, or like pottery that's been successfully fired in the kiln. A proven character. And when that proven character is produced, then it produces a hope that's grounded both in what God has done in Christ and in our own experience of the Holy Spirit, God's presence dwelling in us. So instead of being foreign to the Christian life, in Paul's view here, suffering plays an integral role in the Christian life. God has a purpose in allowing it. It's not without meaning in our Christian experience. As Walter Wessel said, a Christian can rejoice in suffering because he knows that it is not meaningless. God is working in it and through it to accomplish something. Eugene Peterson has stated it well. He said, suffering is not evidence of God's absence, but of God's presence. Listen to that again. Suffering is not evidence of God's absence, but of God's presence. And it is in our experience of being broken that God does His surest and most characteristic salvation work. And he goes on to say, there's a way to accept, embrace, and deal with suffering that it results in a better life, not a worse one, and more of the experience of God, not less. God is working out His salvation in our lives the way He has always worked it out, at the place of brokenness, at the cross of Jesus, and at the very place where we take up our cross. Now that doesn't mean it's easy. It wouldn't be endurance if it were easy, would it? Philip Yancey tells of a letter he received from a friend whose daughter Peggy was terminally ill. And the mother wrote this: the weekend before she went into the hospital for the last time, Peggy came home all excited about a quotation from William Barclay that her minister had used. She was so taken with it that she'd copied it down on a 3x5 card for me. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. And she said that her minister must have had a hard week, because after he read it, he banged the pulpit and then turned his back to them and cried. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. When it's all said and done, doesn't it all come down to this? Sometimes God intervenes in miraculous ways to accomplish His will in us and for us. Sometimes there are mighty deliverances. Sometimes there are wonderful demonstrations of His power. And when that's the case, we rejoice and we praise Him for His marvelous grace and power. But often, maybe most often, rather than preventing or removing our sufferings, God chooses to grant us the miracle of endurance. I heard an old country preacher say one time, you know, it's one thing for a strong, young, strapping man to say praise the Lord. It's altogether something different for a frail, bedridden, elderly person to say praise the Lord. Endurance. It's in our endurance that our hope becomes real to us. And when that endurance produces character and that character produces hope, then we can say with Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Brothers and sisters, for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we don't like to think about suffering. We don't like to go through suffering. And yet, it was through your patient suffering with your people down through the ages and through the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ that you brought us salvation. And it's often through our suffering that you are making us over into His likeness. Father, help us to remember that the suffering is temporary and the glory is eternal. That the hope that is set before us is worth far, far more than the sufferings of this present time. And so help us to look to you in hope, whatever we may be going through. We pray in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 645, Faith of Our Fathers, number 645. This morning, maybe God is speaking to you about something that you're going through or some commitment that you need to make. Whatever it is, please do that right where you are. And if you need to come and share that commitment, or if you need to come and pray, we invite you to do that. Or if you've never put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're ready to do that this morning, we invite you to come. Whatever your need, as we stand and sing number
Father's Day.
Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful for what we've shared in as we worship you together this morning. We know, Lord, that there are many things that we go through in our lives that we don't understand. We know, Father, that there are times when it seems as though you are absent, but help us to know that though we may not be aware of it, you're always present. That in your word you have promised never to leave us nor forsake us, but always to be there and to bear us up in your strong everlasting arms underneath us. Lord, we've heard wonderful things about how you do help us in times of struggle as we have sung the hymns of the faith today, as we've listened to your word, as we have prayed. But Father, we pray that you'll make these things real to us now and that you will help us day by day. And Lord, that when we go through those times of suffering, that they will indeed produce endurance. And that endurance will produce proven character. And that proven character will produce hope. Hope in you. Hope in what lies before us in the new creation. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. And now as you go, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good word and work. Amen.